Hello and welcome to another episode of Quirky Pop. I'm Katrina Parker, and with me, I say special guests a lot, but this guy right here, he's my nephew's son. I mean, he's my nephew, but like I feel like he's my son. Like when his mom was giving birth to him, I had sympathy contractions, and he lived with me like the first like couple years of his life. So I know he's my nephew's son. His name is Justin Turner. How are you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing pretty good, T2. This is my first time really doing a huge podcast. I've done a few in the past, but I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. Cool. This isn't a big podcast. I wish it was. But
I consider it a big podcast.
All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name's Justin Turner. I'm born in Harvey, Illinois, but really raised in Bloomington, Illinois. I love doing a bunch of stuff. I love making music. I love working on film productions. I love watching movies. I love listening to music. I love superhero theme stuff. Favorite superheroes, Batman. And I love to be outside. I love doing everything.
Yeah, you do a lot of different things. Like, you just graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And I'm going to brag on him a little bit. He is going to be a Morehouse man.
Yep.
In like a month or so, you're going to be leaving us.
Yeah, August 10th.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, if you're in Atlanta, look up. No, don't look him up, but
if you're a lady, look me up. No one else. You could be my friend, but I don't know.
Yeah. And what are you going to be studying at Morehouse?
I'm going to be studying film production, but to be more specific, cinematography, media, and television. I'm still, I'll probably do something else because that's a lot of writing, but I just really want to work on the film aspect of it. And then I'm going to minor in probably sports analytics. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Your mom was like talking about like the process of dropping off at school. And like, I think you going to like a HBCU is like the closest our family has ever like really been to it. So my most thoughts of that experience is like watching a different world.
Yeah, I know it is. Like, I know there's probably going to be a huge change aspect to it because mm-hmm. I've mostly been raised around mostly white people my whole life. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be different. But I mean, like I have like a friend that like she promotes going to HBCU, but she was like, oh, I'm so scared because there would be too many black people. I'm like, that sounds all right. Like, whatever. Like, just like, don't you know you yourself are black? But I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be a nice change.
Yeah. Like, your mom was shocked when I asked. I was like, so they don't do like stepping shows like all the time? Like they won't just start randomly stepping on the campus? She's like, no.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, because you better just walk into class. So I was like,
those are the videos that I've seen. Yeah. Like the Qs have had like a huge peak. Uh-huh. When it comes to popularity, like now everyone wants to be a Q because it's like, oh, just girls, girls, girls. But I don't know.
Yeah. People have been trying to recruit you since you were little.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be a Q. Oh, he's going to be an alpha.
I'm not going to say what I'm going to be yet because I know that's like a huge rule of thumb just to keep it secret.
Okay. So why don't you tell us, because I already know this, but how were you introduced to Batman, the animated series?
Well, of course, you and Chris introduced me. Like, the DVDs were spread around the house when I was a kid, and you just plopped them in, and then you go season by season. And it was, of course, by my grandfather, too. But, like, it's mostly, it was right in front of me when I was at your house. So it was just seeing it. It brought me a lot of joy, and it was, like, a comfort place for me just to see, like, oh, like a hero like this, like do what he does. And it was someone that I could really look up to. So that's where I really got that inspiration from.
Yeah. I have to tell this cute little story about you when you were really little. You got so into Batman that you wanted to wear, like your mom got your costume and you would wear it everywhere or want to wear it everywhere. And you wanted to wear it to church. And your mom was like, no, you can't do it. So then she called your Uncle Chris. So Uncle Chris is my ex-husband, who is still really close to Justin. They have like a really tight bond. And she called him up and told him that, you know, you wouldn't do that. And then he put you on the phone. He's like, Justin, so who is Batman in the daytime? And you were like, Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes. Does Bruce Wayne always wear his Batman costume? He's like, no. And he's like, so there you go, Justin. Like, you can't wear
your Batman. I forgot about that.
You can't wear your Batman costume everywhere you go. Like, yeah. Sometimes you got to be Bruce Wayne. Sometimes you have to be Justin. And you were okay with it. You're like, okay, all right. I'll go to church without that.
Yeah. It's crazy thing is, though, when you really look into it, like, Bruce Wayne is always Batman, but he's acting to be Bruce Wayne for the public. Because after, like, his parents died, it's like, oh, that's all I am now. It's like, not really. You're putting on that facade of, like, what a billionaire would be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it.
But I was addicted. I still am, but in more of a healthy way, because I also remember that, after I saw The Dark Knight, which is still probably my favorite movie of all time, I tried to copy the scene to where he like fell from like the center of like the a parking garage, and I hung like the bed sheets around myself, but then my mom like caught me because she thought I was about to like hang myself from like jumping from the bed, from like the bunk bed, and I was like trying to dangle from my feet. I tried to do some crazy stunts as Batman. It's insane.
Oh yeah, I can imagine, like, because I think around that time, or maybe like a year or two before you were like really running around and stuff, like, there was this girl at the church we used to go to that she was playing with this like rope thing, and she got on the ceiling fan and it wrapped around her neck and she ended up dying.
Oh, whoa, wait, for real?
Yeah, that really happened. Dang. So probably seeing you do something like that probably like really scared her.
And you don't even like know as a kid like the dangers of doing that.
Yeah. How, like, you think you prepare your child for everything, but so I can imagine at that moment why she was like freaking out like that,
for real.
I think that's my cat trying
to get it. That was terrifying.
Hi Gallifrey, come on in. That's my cat, ladies and gentlemen. She likes to tap at the door to come in, and she won't leave us alone until we let her in. But anyway, so I wanted to get into like the cast, the writers, and the episodes. So I wanted to talk about like the two main stars of the show, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. So we'll start with Mark Hamill first, because we'll go a little bit more into Kevin Conroy after that. But like, so what do you think about Mark Hamill's like Joker?
First of all, I love the dude, period. Because when you like look at his Twitter, he's such a lighthearted dude.
Yeah.
He's a man for the people, you know, power to all the people. And he's sweet. He's an awesome dude. He's an awesome character. But him just as Joker, it's the best adaptation that you will ever see. Because I love, you know, I think one of my favorite live action Jokers is like, you know, Heath Ledger. But to purely say favorite Joker, period, Mark Hamill, because that's the only voice I think of if I read a comic. Or if I like see another Batman like cartoon, I'm like, oh, Mark Hamill would have been perfect for that.
Yeah.
But and then you see him in a bunch of different other cartoons, like a cartoon I love is Regular Show.
Okay.
Or different other cartoons. Like, he has played a bunch of different other characters. He's a talented dude. And it's almost like it goes to the aspect of when you look at Joker, there's always villains that you like hate to watch on screen. Mm-hmm. But no matter how sinister that dude is, he's like, it's like, oh, I like to see him. Like, I like to see him on the screen. Mm-hmm. So I think he really nails that aspect a lot. Like, he's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Everything that you said about him is true. I feel like I love him more for Batman anime series than like Star Wars, which I know like people at home are like, what?
Yeah.
But that's I've seen like all of his work in Star Wars, but it's like, I don't know. I love him most for Batman the Animated Series.
I would say the same thing too. I mean, mm-hmm. He was young when he did Star Wars. So the first movie, the acting was like, it's a bit funny, but still he was great.
Did you see him on the Muppet Show?
Yeah, I did see him on the Muppet Show. Okay. I remember that he said that the hardest aspect of doing Star Wars is like talking to a puppet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've heard someone tell me that the voice of Yoda was like the voice of Miss Piggy or something like
Frank
that.
Frank Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. And he did
Yoda too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to talk about Kevin Conroy. So like all the great things you said about Mark Hamill, like Kevin Conroy, I would say the same. Like he's just a really great person. And a couple years ago, I got to see him at Wizard World, and Caitlin, your cousin Caitlin, and I, we got to ask him a question, and he like serenaded us and stuff. And I just wish I could have got it recorded, but it's okay. I won't talk about that. I won't put him on blast. But anyway, I couldn't get it recorded, but I remember that experience.
Yeah.
When I'm an old lady, when I forget everything else, I'll be like, Batman sung to me. He said, am I blue? And people are like, yes, that's right, Grandma. Take your medicine.
And he has a really good singing voice, too. Like a great singing voice.
Yeah. But then you like got to take it up a notch because your Uncle Chris took you to Comic-Con like a couple years later, and you got to like take a picture with him and shake his hand and talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, that was really bizarre because, like, you don't really realize what happened until after, because, like, at that moment, it's like meeting him. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say, it's not really enough because you only have, like, 1 or 2 minutes to speak to him. Mm-hmm. And I just told him, like, hey, like, what you've done is, like, it's inspiring to me and, of course, a bunch of people. And I know he probably gets it, like, every single day.
Yeah.
But it meant a lot to me. And of course, like I said, it isn't enough time to mm-hmm. really say what exactly you want to say to him. Cause I would mm-hmm. like to have like a whole day to like speak to him about him for like the show, for the video games, mm-hmm. for all of that. But, it was bizarre. Funny thing, cause you know, he was getting tired throughout the day.
Yeah.
Cause having to speak to every single person.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he does appreciate it, but it's like, mm-hmm. let's keep going. Mm-hmm. So, he was really tall.
Yeah.
Like, that was really weird to see, like, how tall he actually is. And then him doing, like, the actual voice in front of you is like, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Oh, he did the voice in front of you?
Yeah, he did.
Oh. Because, like, I thought your mom said something like you tried to get him to say that you're his biggest fan or something like that.
No, I just wanted him to say, like, I'm Batman.
Oh.
Or, like, something like that. I didn't want to go over the top because, of course, he has to say that every single day. So I'm not. There's one line and that's it. You can go on.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but that was really cool. I'll always remember that moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about some of the other people that were on the show. So I wrote this down because I don't know everyone's name.
For real.
Yeah. Lauren Lester did Robin. Bob Hastings played James Gordon, but they call him Jim.
Yeah.
Ephraim Zimbalist,
I think, yeah, Junior
played Alfred. I didn't know this until I looked this up. Ron Perlman played Clayface.
Yeah, he did play Clayface. And I found that out about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really realize it until after you, like, you know, find out, because then you hear it and like, oh, that is definitely Ron Perlman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that. And then Adam West, did you know that Adam West played the Grey Ghost?
Yeah, that was because I remember I didn't really know who Adam West was when I was like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. But then once I turned like 12 or 13, I rewatched it and I was like, that is definitely Adam West. And mm-hmm. it was so cool how they got to like bring him in, because the whole point of like that arc was that Bruce looked up to the Grey Ghost.
Yeah.
And then having like a, you know, a former Batman play, you know, the Grey Ghost, it's just really cool. It's mm-hmm. a really cool addition to the whole show.
Yeah. And then Arlene Sorkin played Harley Quinn. Yes. I know that Tara Strong does her
That's your favorite Harley Quinn, I'm pretty sure, right?
Actually, Arlene is. Because really? Like, she's the original.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love Tara Strong. You know, yeah. She's Bubbles. Like, I love her.
Yeah.
Everything she does. But, like, I think, like, the original Harley, like, kind of set the thing. And I think, like, Tara did a good job of taking over that voice. Because, like, you hear that voice, and it's like, okay, that's Harley's voice.
Yeah.
So I think she did a good job of taking over. And if Nan, I'm sure Nana's going to listen to this, but Melissa Gilbert, you know, Nana's favorite show, Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Yeah. She played Laura Ingalls.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, wait. Laura Ingalls was the young one, right? Like the oldest of the young or?
Okay. She was the middle child.
Middle child? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like the oldest girl with the blonde hair and then the middle child, Laura Ingalls. And then Carrie was like the baby.
Dang. I know they got to be like, what, 60?
Yeah.
70 now.
But she played Barbara Gordon, Melissa Gilbert did.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so like Nana's like, oh, I'm gonna have to watch that now.
She's not going to, but I mean,
but she'll probably think it's cool. Yeah, she loved that show so much. I'll say it. But like she, I think Little House and stuff and Highway to Heaven. Like she was obsessed with Michael Landon.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was mostly about, Michael Landon.
Yeah.
So if Michael Landon was on this show,
yes, yeah,
she'd be listening.
That's true. And everyone thought that he was a hunk back then. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. And then Ed Asner. So I don't know if you know who he is. He was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He's like done a lot of different voiceover work too. He was an elf.
And who did he played Ronald Daggett?
Yeah. Yeah, he played Ronald Daggett.
That's weird. Wow.
Yeah, I had no clue until today. I was just like,
because I thought, well, I thought that it was just like a, you know, just random voice actor
right.
that just played him. But that's all. Mm-hmm. This is a really strong cast.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a lot of different people in there that like I didn't know, but like I looked them up. I'm like, oh, okay, this person's a pretty big deal.
Well, it's crazy because the person who was going to play Joker was who's the dude from It, the first It.
Tim Curry?
Yes, he was going to play Joker instead of Mark Hamill.
Really?
And I think, I don't know what happened, but they went with Mark Hamill and where he was like, oh, I want to do it. Like, of course. Mm-hmm. And like Tim Curry, he sounded great, but it was something about Mark Hamill where it was like, wow, this is going to be permanent. Like, this is going to stick with people.
Okay. Yeah, so, I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's insane.
But yeah, like, I mean, everything about that show, like the casting, and we're going to talk about like the writing with Bruce Timm, but like they had like an orchestra come in and record like the music.
And that's the music is so good. Mm-hmm. Like the theme song is just, it's, I mean, you can, it's amazing.
Yeah. Like they came out with this other one when they did like the Adventures of Batman and Robin that was like, it was like a side song of the original, and it was like, it's okay, but it's not.
And the series is still great. Like that, you know, that part of the series is still great, but it's like when I compare it to Batman the Animated Series, that's what gives Batman the Animated Series like a bit higher of the level, like the music. So
yeah, definitely. But yeah, let's talk about Bruce Timm. Like I looked up, he's an animator, he's written and just done a lot of stuff with Batman animated series and just animated like DC shows and films and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Anything that Bruce Timm has like written, I've adored. Like when it comes to the Batman Arkham series, I'm sure a lot of maybe some people have played it on this podcast, but that's my favorite, you know, game series.
Okay.
The story is reminiscent of Batman the Animated Series, but really darker.
Okay.
And he's able to take that turn. Every single episode, it's not really, nothing's really a throwaway episode. And then the Batman Animated Series, there's a point to saying it. There's always a lesson or just something impactful. And same thing with the movies. Like, oh my gosh, The Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay.
That is like probably the best Batman movie ever. Like, okay. I'm not even joking. Mask of the Phantasm is part of the animated series.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I think I have. But it's been a while since I've, like, watched it.
It's good.
Okay.
He's amazing.
Cool. So, what are your top 5 episodes?
I have them written down, but I think I can say them from heart. So, probably my favorite, my personal favorite is Baby Doll. Because that's, I remember watching it over and over at your house. But growing up thinking about it, it's super sad because it's someone that like can't really grow up and she wants to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And while everyone else is growing up to live their lives, she wants to stay in the moment and be have that attention and be mm-hmm. appreciated and loved. And it really shows the softer side of Batman because he doesn't, like, you know, beat her up, like, toss her around. It's just, it ends because I very well, when I was a kid, I'm like, he's about to kick someone. I'm like, I thought he was about to toss her in the mirrors. He just gives her a hug, which is what she really wants and needed. And it ends with her breaking down. It's like, man, mm-hmm. like, it's not even a happy ending, but it's just like, it's just consoling someone, which is just something that someone really needs.
Yeah.
And then there's Heart of Ice, which is what really solidified Mr. Freeze as mm-hmm. a relatable villain. Because before then, he was just a jerk. He mm-hmm. was just a jerk that mm-hmm. just robbed for his own good and just mm-hmm. stole jewelry in the comics. But in an animated series, they changed it to where he had a wife and he mm-hmm. was doing these things because his wife was dying and needed mm-hmm. to save her. And I think making that arc for him was perfect. So yeah. I really appreciate that. And then there was also Two-Face part 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I already talked to you about this, but that was the episodes to where, of course, they and Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
And you know that he wasn't really sane before his face mm-hmm. was like burnt. But it was just the fact that he had a multiple personality disorder. Mm-hmm. He had anger issues. And it was never treated because no one really listened to him as a kid and he hid it down. Mm-hmm. But then once a traumatic event happened, you know, you could hear the screams from the hospital room and the acting for that was phenomenal because mm-hmm. it felt so real for a cartoon. So then this part 1 and 2, that's 4. And then the 5th one is probably, what's the Harley Quinn episode where, I forget.
Is it the one where she's singing?
It's not the one where she's singing, but it's the one where she catches Batman. And then Joker's like, that's my job to catch the Batman.
Okay, I know what you're talking
about. And like, so I don't know what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't appreciate her. And it ends with her like being tossed out the window.
Okay.
And she's just crying because nothing that she does is good enough for him. It's like, man, it's like, it's the whole idea of an end of abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's again, it's really dark for a cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So, like, you have some of my top 5, like Baby Doll. Well, actually, it was just that one, the Baby Doll one. I had Harley Quinn 8, and that's the one where she goes off with, she teams up with Batman to, like, stop the Joker, and she does that song, Please Save Your Sweethearts Again.
Yeah, and that's when she, like, goes to the mall with him or, like, something like
Right. No, that was
because because Bruce was trying to induct her into society and have her be normal.
No, that's a different episode.
That's another episode.
Yeah, jeez, that's another episode. And then there's like the Almost Got Him, where
they're all in a room and they're talking.
Yeah,
that's a really good one as well.
Yeah, like I say Croc's line all the time: "Hit him with the rock,"
and then everyone just stares at him. That's a good one.
What's wrong with you, man? And then Per Chance to Dream, when Batman thinks that, well, he's dreaming that his parents ever died.
Yep. And he has to accept the fact that he has to go back to that life by mm-hmm. the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of that episode?
Well, that's why it's not in my top. I hate watching it because it's like, mm-hmm. but Bruce has to sacrifice to be the Batman. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be the Batman if his parents weren't dead and if he had a love life.
Yeah.
Because you can't do both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about sacrifice in mm-hmm. this because his heart is just filled with pain. And it's like, man, that is like, that's tough.
Yeah. I guess I liked it. Why did I like it? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. And then... Callie, what are you doing?
Shut the scratch.
We're gonna have to kick you out.
Oh my gosh.
Woo! Yep. Let's let her out. Can you open the door?
Yeah. I'm
just... Bye, Callie. Bye bye.
Dang. Anyway, but yeah, that was weird.
We will edit that out. I like the part where he was we saw how Bruce was like not really that great. Like he was like, he worked, but he didn't really handle business the way he did when he was like Batman and stuff. And, you know, he's marrying Selina, and it just made me wonder, it's like, what type of person would he have been in real life if his parents would have died? Like, would he have been a good person? Would he just have been like a snob?
Snobby rich dude. It's like, I guess in a way, pain disciplined him, because of course he had to travel the world to learn these different things. And he was serious for the rest of his life. He took everything seriously because he knows that what he does also affects other people.
And then I also had Joker's Wild. So that's the episode where this billionaire dude decides to make this casino with the image of the Joker. And the Joker's watched it from jail, and he gets mad, breaks out.
I think I remember that episode. It's really faint to me.
Yeah. I just feel like that's something that could happen in real life where there's like someone so horrible and someone's like, I'm going to make a theme park or make some type of business with their likeness and everyone's going
to
come.
It's definitely happened. I'm trying to think of, I feel like some people kind of glorify the Holocaust. And that's something that I would probably say. Like, there are some people that like dig really deep into Hitler, and they're like, "Well, there were some good ideas." I'm like, bro, don't even say that. Yeah. Like, come on, like you can't say that.
yeah, I know what you
like.
Mean.
Candace Owens, I remember she was talking about how you know what Candace Owens is.
Unfortunately,
she was just talking about how apart from the genocide, Hitler's ideas was to unify his country. I'm like. No, don't say apart from the genocide. Like, that's a huge thing to set apart. So, yeah. There are some real aspects of that show that I can understand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Or I remember Dave was telling me, like, in Columbine, there are people who dress up in trench coats and, like, try to go and glorify the two guys who killed all those people at the high school. And, like, the townspeople, they're not having it. They will like snatch that coat off of you and like.
I mean, I understand. Those were their kids, dude.
Yeah.
Like that's not cool.
Yeah, some weird people out there.
They are.
Yeah. So I wanted to move on to our show themes. So like Batman Animated Series, like you said, like there's like a lot of like life lessons within the show. So we're just going to touch on just some of them.
Yeah.
So one common theme that I saw was like revenge. Like revenge, like it seemed like a lot of the villains were motivated by revenge.
I mean, that's what Batman runs off of, if you really think about it. Even though he says, that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. It kind of is in a way, because it's what fuels him.
Yeah.
It's not like it's bad, but it's like just like. You can tell it's part of his character still, even that's what he tries to get away from.
Yeah. I think that's definitely like an internal struggle for him.
Yeah.
But he had mentioned like Hearts of Ice with Mr. Freeze, where like he was trying to get revenge on the people that he thought killed his wife and stuff. And the Clock King, which I felt like the Clock King, it felt like that episode could have went to like, the Riddler or
it could and I think the Clock King is a bit underrated of an episode. I mean, it's funny. Like it's a funny aspect.
Yeah.
But it's still like even though how ridiculous it is, it's still cool. Mm-hmm. It's still a cool aspect.
Yeah, because he wanted to get back at the mayor just because the mayor was like, hey, take some time, take a break.
Yeah.
And he's just like he took too much I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I know, like, the kids knocked his papers, and he ended up being late to his thing.
Yeah,
and
that was bogus.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah. But, yeah. And then Robin's Reckoning. So, like, Robin, who's a lot like Bruce, because they both had similar situations with losing their parents.
Yeah.
He goes after Tony Zucco. I don't know how I memorized that name. Tony Zucco.
It's a very 90s thing to say, like 90s or 80s. It seems like a very 90s or 80s like movie name.
Yeah.
Tony Zucco.
Yeah. He's like going up and he's like, no, Batman. Because like at the end, he's like snapping and he's just like, you don't understand. You don't understand what it's like. And I'm like.
Definitely does. Well, I think that's the great thing about Robin's Reckoning. And there's two parts for it. It's just the fact that Dick Grayson was probably Batman's biggest success. Mm-hmm. Because even though Dick resents him in different ways, he still appreciates what Batman gave to him because he knew that he probably would have fell down a path of revenge. But Batman had that closure for him to stop, you know, what was going on in his life. And compared to the rest of the villains, the reason why they are in the spot that they are, like, you know, currently is because they fell down the path of revenge. Mm-hmm. And that's why Batman's whole thing is like, that's not something to really go down for, which is why I think Dick is probably Batman's biggest success or his, I guess. I don't know. He it represents him well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another theme is like extremism, like Poison Ivy and like Ra's al Ghul.
They just say kill everybody.
Right. They're just like, I thought, I'm like, they probably would have made a nice couple.
Yeah.
Like they were very similar. They're just like, you know, the earth.
Yeah. And it would probably just the fact that, you know, Ra's is a human. That's probably why she'd be like, no, she probably wouldn't like him. But still, they have the same ideals.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Definitely. Or that they didn't at least team up on a caper or something.
Yeah, yeah, that probably would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because most of the people that she teams up with, it's like, it's not even, they're not even about genocide. It's just like, I just
want to get some cash. And man. Just like, go. Yeah. The movie idea.
That could
Poison
be a movie
Ivy
idea.
And Ra's al Ghul.
I want to say it did happen in the video games.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, actually. Yeah, I just know that she was just part of the same thing, where it's like, yeah, I just killed everybody. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, would you say Batman is a bit of an extremist?
Yes.
Okay.
But in a way, and it, actually, I'll save that for the end because I think that's a question.
Okay.
That we can
we'll
save
come,
for the end.
We'll revisit that. So then we have mental illness, and you kind of mentioned earlier with Harvey Dent having multiple personalities. And it seems like the ventriloquist was kind of like that too.
Oh, yeah. It was when that was also a really sad episode, and which is why I didn't have it in my top five because it is really good. Mm-hmm. But it's too sad because he actually feels like someone died, like once the ventriloquist was like shot. Mm-hmm. And you see him break down in tears. Mm-hmm. That is also split personality disorder because he, that's a part of him. Yeah. And like that part of him has died. Like it's like a friend, but it's also an abusive relationship with a fake friend. So it's a whole trade of cards where it's like, this is every single aspect of this is awful.
Yeah. But like, you say that, but like when he's like, you're like, Dummy, no. It's like, it's kind of comical the way he died.
It was just, and then Batman's like,
this happened like two or three times.
And Batman's like, so okay.
Yeah. Or that one episode with the ventriloquist when he thought he was cured and he was working at Wayne Enterprises.
Yes. Yeah.
And his friends, his henchmen, made the ventriloquist come back by like messing with his head.
Mm-hmm.
But then the dummy was like, or Scarface was like, oh, you know, I was there the whole time. I was laying, no, I was going to decide, but you guys made me come out sooner. So now I'm going to kill you guys. Or
and
something like that.
They also talk about how they like feel like, oh, well, maybe this is just a whole act that the ventriloquist is like putting up. Mm-hmm. No, they confirm it because the dummy seems like he's actually talking by himself and that you like show that this is an amount of care that he has for that person. Mm-hmm. And it's like actual split personality that they see. So it's really crazy just to see that go on, just to see such a calm man commit, you know, murder and like, you know, crime, but he doesn't believe he's doing it. He's being controlled.
Yeah. Like, I wish I could know his backstory, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we know more about like Two-Face on how he got the way he was.
I think it'd be a really good movie.
But we don't really know what, because he's like this mild-mannered person. It's just like, was he bullied too or something?
Yeah.
And then I don't know. But I wanted to go back to Two-Face because there was like another episode where Bruce Wayne is going to pay for Two-Face to get his face fixed to help him get back there. And then he ends up going back to being bad again. But then at the end, he's going back to Arkham. Bruce is there. And he's like, you're my best friend. You never give up on me. And like that, it made me a little emotional, like just like dealing with that. And it's just like, cause he sees both sides. He's like Batman and he's like dealing with this guy. He probably doesn't want to beat up his friend and stuff. And,
And then also Batman in like one of the, in the Two-Face part two episodes, Batman has like a nightmare of like Harvey saying, "You let me down." Mm-hmm. And that's something that Batman has a heavy weight on him, mm-hmm. because he has it on his responsibility to rehabilitate him. But it's not Two-Face's fault that he got burnt, but it is Two-Face's fault that he won't help himself be rehabilitated, mm-hmm. because they also say, like in the first episode, like, "Oh, well, we can't like treat you," but he just leaves.
Yeah,
because they can like treat his face to like have a, like a full recovery, but mm-hmm. he just leaves. So he denies that life mm-hmm. himself.
Yeah. So I also wanted to like talk about another theme that was in the one episode, Mean Seasons, where like this former model who she was like let go by like all of her different, I guess, contracts and stuff.
Yeah.
And she ended up getting like revenge on them. And at the same time, because like I said, I was saying like she was getting old and they wanted to go with someone newer.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Bruce Wayne, he had like a policy at Wayne Enterprises where once you get a certain age, you have to retire, you have to leave. And the one guy didn't really want to retire. And then going through the episode, Bruce was just like, "Oh, you know what? Maybe I should get rid of this policy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this isn't cool."
Because he realizes that there are some aspects that aren't fair. Mm-hmm. And that he is also responsible for, like, you know, getting rid of those aspects as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I also want to touch on, I forgot, like, I always forget about this character, the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
To where there was this one episode to where he was, like, infatuated with this one girl.
And, Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he paints himself as, like, you know, "Oh, she's definitely into me." Mm-hmm. But once you rewatch the episode, there were no really true intentions to where it looked like that she was going to date him or where she mm-hmm. was just a good friend. Mm-hmm. But once he found out that, like, you know, she was dating another guy, it was nice, did nothing mm-hmm. to him. He squeezed the roses that he gave to Alice and you can see like the blood drip. And
yeah,
I'm like,
geez. That was wow. Yeah.
So he's in his own little world to where mm-hmm. he takes those things personally, but really it's, you know, it's no one's fault. Like, mm-hmm. it's just how life goes. Like, she didn't intentionally mean to hurt you, but that's mm-hmm. how he took it. And there are a lot of people out there who think like that, not to that extreme way, mm-hmm. but to think they pity themselves and make it seem like, "Oh, it's their fault that they didn't do this."
Yeah. Or they feel like they're entitled
to that person,
to a person. Is that there was this, like, this guy who went around killing random women because he couldn't get yep. women to like go to bed with him. And that was like in his manifesto. He's just like, "You women are going to, I'm going to teach you guys a lesson." And I don't know, you could go on a whole conversation on society and why there are men who feel like they're obligated to a woman, or like, you know, if a woman turns you down, he's like, "Oh, well, I need to kill you now." Yeah. So it's like, what?
I was like, that. You're gonna take a plan B or C. You just
right. It's like in this day and age, it's like you can find every pot has a lid, and with the internet, you can find that. So it's just like,
yeah,
what is this really about?
Yeah, it's insane. Have you seen that one Dave Chappelle like comedy skit to where he was like, "You know, I see a lot of these school shootings, and it's crazy because these kids need help. But as a kid, I've never thought I want to kill everybody in this school." He was like, "Never. I never yeah. thought like that. Never yeah. in my life."
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's really hard to see why, how those people think
mm-hmm.
and how they like they run to a day-to-day life. So that's, I found that really interesting. Yeah. Just that episode.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think there was like another one, Unrequited Love episode where, and I didn't write this down, but it's like this guy, it was in the third season where he had like fire, and like there was like this I think the artist's name was Cassidy, blonde hair girl, and she dated this guy who worked on her crew, and then she like, you know, threw him away.
Yeah.
And he wasn't having it, and he like turned into this villain, and he kept trying to set her on fire and stuff.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in the third season. So, did you have any other things you wanted to bring up?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I want to say, yeah.
Okay. So, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because you kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, like Batman / Bruce's like love life. And you had said that because he's Batman, he can never have an actual relationship with another person.
You know what's crazy?
What?
When you look at all of his relationships, mm-hmm. all of these people are criminals. When it comes to Mask of the Phantasm, that was the one of the girl that lost her father and she went on a revenge path. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Talia, she's the daughter of Ra's al Ghul, and she mm-hmm. believes in his ideals partly, and she wants Batman to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And there's Catwoman, who's a, you know, thief.
Yeah.
On, like, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think as part of that thing to where Batman's like, you know, I know that I can't have them, but there's mm-hmm. just something about them. There's like, you know, I want to have that quiet life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also for each one of those relationships, it's a, you can look, but you can't touch. Like, you can't have that.
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting, that every single relationship that he almost has is like, those aren't the people that he is like, those are the opposite of the people that he should probably be with because of his ideals.
Yeah. Now, like, what did you think of that episode where Poison Ivy tricks all like the rich people into marrying all these people who have green eyes?
Yeah.
And they're like the perfect mate for each of them. And
was
stuff.
That like one of the first episodes to when she got Alfred to go to that place?
No, that's like when they go to the retreat. So like,
yes. Okay.
Like they were, it was like she had like these like love barons that would make them fall in love with people.
Yeah.
So like Bruce's one friend, I can figure her name with the red hair, she had gotten married after meeting this guy after a week. And then at the wedding reception, Bruce meets this woman with blonde hair and green eyes, and they like connect right away. And it was just like after a week. Cause like first, like he, as Batman, he goes and tries to like survey her and see like, you know, like, who is she? You know, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
But then after a week, they get married.
Yeah. It's...
And it turns out they're just like pod creatures of like, of
and anxiety. Again, you look and you can't touch because mm-hmm. you can't have that life. Mm-hmm. He was so close to getting it, and then it just goes away.
Yeah.
And I think part of him, like with these relationships as well, is like he wants to rehabilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his whole motive when you think about all these characters. He wants to rehabilitate every single one of these people, which is why he doesn't kill.
So he doesn't have to work on himself.
Yeah.
It just, you know what? I'm going to bring up Community, but like Britta on, do you watch Community?
Yeah.
So like Britta.
You showed me it.
Yeah. So like Britta on the show, she always dates like all these people who are like very damaged and stuff. And like one episode was like, she didn't like Troy, but then suddenly she liked Troy because she thought he was abused as a kid. And she's just like, oh, I'm so drawn to you. And it was like, Abed was like, she's that way because if she fixes someone else, she doesn't have to worry about fixing herself or something like that. I'm just like, I think that's the thing that people do. It's like, I'm going to fix this person to be what I need. But at the same time, it's like, I got my own junk that I need to work through myself. So I'm going to find someone who's like worse off than me and try to fix them.
And it also goes back to like the thing where therapists are like one of the most troubled people in life. Because they have so many problems, and they're mostly divorced. Every, like, you know, you always meet a therapist that could possibly be divorced, but they always have problems of their own.
Well, everyone does. That's the thing. Everyone does.
But
everyone has problems.
I saw this one other podcast that they were talking about.
Uh-huh.
They help other people to really ignore their problems and just how they cope in a way.
I don't know, because I go to therapy all the time, like every other week. So I don't want to say like, oh yeah, they all are. I don't know.
And it goes
I won't say all therapists. Okay.
Are like that. Yeah. But there is a correlation.
I think it's because of the job that they do people expect for them to always have it together?
Yes. And it turns out, you know,
they don't. They're just like everyone else. And I, in a way, it's like kind of like, huh, okay, no one's perfect. So it's like a way of like,
Even they went to school to have like most of the answers to psychology. Yeah. They still cannot help themselves with the answers that, you know.
Not always. Yeah. They have to work at it too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's like a better way to look at it.
Yeah. I'll say it like that.
Yeah. Like you, like we love therapists.
Yes. I have my own therapist. He's awesome.
Yeah. He's going to be sitting listening like taking notes. So let's talk about your podcast, Tristan.
Probably. He probably will say that.
What you say?
He's great.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about Batman and Batgirl. Like, because we see a little bit of it in the animated series, but like in some of the other movies, they kind of touch on them dating. And I feel bad that I thought about this, but I think it was like that show with Ray J. And I'm embarrassed I even know about this because like I don't really watch trash TV, but it was just like, I don't know, I think someone else was talking about it and posted it, so I watched this clip. But like when they were like, so and so she's smashing the homies or something like that, because it's like she was with Dick Grayson at first, and they like that was getting ready to blossom, but then it didn't. And then suddenly it was like, oh, I'm with Bruce now. I'm like,
well, you know what's weird? I think the only reason why she is with Dick Grayson is because he is partly like Bruce. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be with Bruce first, but of course, Bruce is like, you are way too young. You're in and out of your head. You have a whole life ahead of you, and you do not need to be with me. Wait, and he's not about that life.
She wants to be with him first.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
No, she always had like a crush on Batman and on Bruce.
Okay.
Like, and this always like relevant, like with each show that I've watched, like with, there was like the one movie, like The Killing Joke. Mm-hmm. Like, of course she had like a huge crush on Batman because she idolizes him, which is why she wants to work with him. Mm-hmm. And there's also hints like, and that also happened with Batman Adventures.
Yeah.
To where it was like this one conversation to where she was like trying to flirt. And then she was like, oh my God, like this sucks. But she, like, they always hinted at like, yeah, she does have a crush on on Batman.
But then like they actually had a thing and then it didn't work.
Yeah.
And she ended up marrying somebody else.
And I said, good, because I feel like Barbara is just, well, first she's too young, and two, she's just, it's just it. It's weird. It'd just be really weird. Like, I remember watching The Killing Joke with Chris to where, like, she started making out with him. Uh-huh. And then Chris is like, I'm pretty sure she raped him. I'm like, I want to say that. It's just really weird to see. It shouldn't have happened because it didn't happen in the comics. And I know that's, like, a whole thing. But, like, it's not needed. I don't need to see Batman date Batgirl just because they have the same mission to save, you know, Gotham. I don't need to see Dick and Dick Grayson and Batman be together because they have the same ideals. Like, no, I don't. Yeah. But I do get why some people are like, oh, like I ship them. Like, I guess.
Honestly, I'm more of Batman and Wonder Woman.
Oh my gosh. They did that so well in Justice League.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like, I know, like, they were like, oh, she should be with Superman. I'm just like, why? Because they have similar colors?
And also, it's because, oh, because they're both really strong. Why else? What else similar does, like, please tell me. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Wonder Woman most likely wants to get the job done. When I really, and Superman's like, I'm for the people. Like, I want to be a good image. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman doesn't care. She's just like, okay, if this person's bad, then kill him. She literally, if you like look at the Justice League movie, like there was one part to where she had like a rope. She threw him against the wall and splattered him. There was blood. I'm like, bro, this is murder. And you know that you can probably just put them down and just be like, oh, take them to jail. Mm-hmm. She murders a lot of people. But I don't know. I think that Superman and Lois works well together more, and Batman and Wonder Woman works well together more too.
Definitely. Definitely.
Sorry, I had a tangent because I was like, I don't know.
Just, yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
I don't know.
So do you think that Bruce is actually a playboy? Like, because like some people are like, oh, he does that to hide, to put people off the trail. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like he probably enjoys being like a player.
I'm sure there are some parts of him. Like, I'm sure there are some parts to him. I don't think that whenever he like brings like a girl home, he's like, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I guess I just to give my image up. I guess I'll sleep with three women tonight. I don't know. Like, of course, there are some aspects to where he's like, okay, this isn't half bad. But I feel, and there are a lot of scenes to where mm-hmm. I feel like he really tries to avoid the aspect. One part in The Dark Knight to where mm-hmm. he has like a glass of like champagne mm-hmm. and it's just one glass. He throws it over the back balcony because he hates the aspect of like alcohol and just having that lifestyle. And after he brings, and there was this one in Batman Year One to where he just had one girl over to throw off Jim because mm-hmm. Jim wanted to ask him, where were you this night of like the mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And he had one girl over and he was acting overconfident to throw Jim off. And right when Jim leaves, puts on a serious face and he just asks her to leave. So I really think that Batman is, he has his mind on one goal, mm-hmm. which is something that I always look up to. Yeah. But it's also something that I don't think is healthy mm-hmm. in a way, because he is run like a machine.
Yeah. I forgot to put this in here about like Jim and Batman's relationship, but like, you know, that one episode where Barbara is asleep with the Scarecrow mm-hmm. stuff and Jim finds out because she dies that she was Batgirl the whole time, he comes after Batman. But then she tries to tell him at the end, he's just like, again, it almost sounded like she was trying to confess that she was like on OnlyFans or something yeah. like that.
He's like, I don't want to know.
Hey, I don't need to know, darling. You're an adult.
I love you no matter what. Like, yeah, that's probably true. He probably thought that she was like doing like, like a prostitute or something. I'm like, Jesus.
He's like, I don't need to know.
Like, that compared to that, he's probably like, okay, that's fine. Fighting crime, okay, whatever. Yeah. But it's, well, that's, yeah, that episode was really interesting because Batman and Jim's whole relationship is based off of trust mm-hmm. because Jim trusts Batman to go with the law, and Batman trusts Jim, like, with, you know, secret information and to work with him because there's a lot of corrupt cops in the whole system. Mm-hmm. And Jim, I would also say, is a good, you know, ideal to look up to. It's just like he wants done the things done by the book, and yeah. he also just wants the best for his city, mm-hmm. which I think is really nice.
Yeah. So, like, do you think, is it Bullock?
Yeah, Bullock.
He's a dirty cop, isn't he?
Well, yeah, there are some aspects in different like comics to where it's like, oh, he is definitely a dirtbag. Mm-hmm. In the animated series, he is not, he is somewhat of a dirty cop, and he will like, you know, bail in like really mm-hmm. intense times, and he will, you know, be hard-headed when mm-hmm. like when you know like, oh, this is what needs to happen. But he doesn't do it because he's a bad person, I feel like. He just does it because he's one, you know, like one of those people that you meet to where like they're really stubborn mm-hmm. and they like want to do things their own way. Mm-hmm. And like, if it's not their way, then it's like, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Batman's ideals because he's like, why don't you just kill him? Like, just get it over with and kill him. That's what sets him differently with Harvey. I mean, not Harvey, Jim.
Okay.
And Batman.
Okay. Because like in the animated series, he's just like, you know, if you want to fight crime, put on a outfit like the rest of us yeah. and stuff. And he's like always calling him a freak. And I don't know, like he just seems like really irrational.
It's
like
resentment.
When Jim got like shot or something like that, and he's like, this is all your fault, Batman. Yeah. Like,
well, it's full of resentment because he knows that like Batman is doing 10 times more than the police mm-hmm. Department is mm-hmm. in Gotham City. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. You have a clown just blowing up cities yeah. and doing stuff every single day. It's hard to keep track of that. So he doesn't really see Batman as helping. He sees him as like putting the police to like shame.
Okay.
But really Jim sees the real aspects like we need help. And that's the difference okay. between the both of them.
So it's a good segue to go to our next topic. We're going to talk about Batman hate. Like, I'm in, like, different, like, black nerd groups and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a lot of memes and stuff. And I sent you this one thing. It was, like, a scene, they like cut different scenes from Justice League Unlimited, where like they had Batman sound like this whiny guy and stuff, and he's just like, "Man, F Gotham," or something like that. He's like, "You let him say that to your set?" And it was just, it was funny, but at the same time, just like, why do people hate Batman so much?
And this is the piece I'll say for this. I've looked on TikTok. It's a whole new trend to just hate on Batman, because I can understand there's a lot of Batman fans that's like, oh, Batman can beat God as long as he has prep time. It's like, okay, to some standards, no. Batman cannot beat everyone.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that makes him cool is that Batman is mentally prepared for each situation that comes across. That that's what makes him interesting. But people feel like that he's, you know, that the comics make him is like invincible, but really the comics make him very vincible because everyone around him kind of dies, which is really interesting. And I think like I've grown out of the fact that I praise him to be perfect, because that's what makes him interesting, is that he's not perfect.
Yeah.
But still, people hate him because he does not kill like people like the Joker or like his villains, first of all, or this, they like, you know, be hypocritical and they're like, oh, he beats up on people who like sell like a gram of weed or something like that. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I have never seen that in a comic to where I've seen like little TikTok videos to where like he breaks every single bone and he's like, tell me what a dealer is. And then he can't even speak. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's overdoing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are now getting that idea of Batman, but it's really not. Because that's why I love Batman, the animated series, so much, because they paint him as sympathetic. And he really just wants to help these people.
And another thing about the animated series, like, they kind of show the things that he does, like, it was like a Wayne Rehabilitation Center or something like that. And I know like there's an argument like he should like give away all this money and be like the rest of us. And then, cause like, I guess if they figure he's like as rich as like,
this dude is Bill Bezos. Gates.
Yeah.
Bill Gates rich. Like he has a lot of money. He has a lot of money.
And like, Cause like one of my Facebook friends, like, he's like a socialist, and he's just like, yeah, some of these things are true, but I still like Batman.
Yeah.
So I think like you can't really think too much into
you
it
can't,
that way.
Because first is a comic book.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you know, you are thinking too much into it. And like, but to go into like the parts where like, oh, he should just kill Joker. Yes. Okay. He can kill Joker. Many people can kill Joker though. And why do they not just give him the death sentence? If everyone is so tired of him in this city, why this Batman says it's up to the law. So it's really the law's fault for not doing this.
So from what the, at least from the animated series standpoint, is that because these people are apprehended by Batman and not an actual cop, that they can only send to Arkham that has terrible security and everyone can just like get out.
And then Arkham is even the worst place because it's like, it's poorly built and people break out completely and it's not a prison. And like, it's just, I don't know.
So I don't know if like, we could critique Bruce. It's like, well, maybe he can rebuild Arkham. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and there have been some comics where he has rebuilt Arkham, but I think, and it goes back to the corrupt system in Gotham to where I just, you know, like, they should really just give him the death sentence. If he has become such a nuisance to Gotham.
Yeah, and he's killed so many people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Just, then you do it. If you are so sad, you do it. Don't, like, you can't also blame him for doing too much, but then not killing this dude who's like, because that will also have him as a criminal. Because he's a vigilante and he's not legally, you know, allowed to do something like that.
I never really understood it because it's like they have bounty hunters. So couldn't Batman be like, in a way, like a bounty hunter?
Yeah.
Like where, but I don't know. It's just like they don't have his papers and they can't say.
It's the fact that Joker is mentally, he is mentally ill, but it makes him untouchable in a way to where they can't really.
But yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one. Yeah.
And then they say that Batman's like selfish or like he's just doing this for a thrill. And I think there are some like aspects, just like he does this to kind of, I'm trying to figure out like a way to word this. He does this to like avenge his parents in a way. Mm-hmm. And he does this to keep his mind off of what his life really is. Mm-hmm. But he also does this to make himself feel better by, you know, helping other people.
Yeah.
Because he knows that Gotham does need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know like with Robin, when he decides to leave and he becomes Nightwing and he's telling the new Robin the story of why he left, I thought it was really interesting how like we saw Batman take it too far, and it was kind of like the memes that people were talking about, like the one guy he was like beating up in front of his family, and Robin saw like the little boy, he was like, "Dad," and he's like, you know, Batman, like, tone it down. He's just like, no, he's gonna give me the info. And you know, he ends up leaving, and then you say later on that Bruce Wayne gives that guy a job later on, and stuff, and gives him a second chance. And unlike some of the villains, like, it seems like the second chance is sticky, you know.
And like Batman, I think he understands when what he does is wrong. Mm-hmm. He won't fully admit it, but he will do what needs to be done to fix that problem. Like, and you see that a lot in Batman Beyond, which is an adaptation, of course, like a continuation of a Batman the animated series, which is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Another really good series.
Terry McGillis.
Really good.
Yeah. So we are coming to the close of our program. Like, is there anything you want us to promote or you want to talk about where people can follow you, or if you want to bring up any causes?
Y'all don't really need to follow me. like, I don't need that whole attention.
Okay.
You can follow my Instagram, king.jturner. You don't need to follow my Twitter. I don't really do much on my Twitter. I don't really do much on my Snapchat. I would give you a YouTube channel, but I don't really do much in there either. So I would just say donate to a worthy cause, or like just anything that is actually, especially organizations that like don't keep most of that money. Cause a lot of those organizations get like 80% of it. Like, just do your own little info and just donate to people that need it.
Okay. All right, listeners. Well, thank you for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter at Berkey Podcast, and you can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, and my website, www.berkeypoppodcast.com. I plan on posting another pod post soon. So, and I think this episode is going to be on YouTube. Yay!
And if you do live in Atlanta, and if you're a girl, just leave it there.
Your mom's gonna kill you.
I don't care.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye.